Second hour of 3D here on this Wednesday morning. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick with you. Yesterday, we had Rocky Boyman on. Today, we're about to bring in Samari Roll. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Drew Brennan. These are all guys that were a part of that roster and a part of that trip up to Foxborough in January of 2004. It was the 03 season when the Titans finished 12-4, and they went into the playoffs as a 5 seed. It was pretty crazy how eerily similar these, you know, this is. And they went into Baltimore. They got the big win against the Ravens as the 5 seed on the road, just like what they did. They go in as the 5 seed, going to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. And then they had to go play the 1 seed up in Foxborough on a very, very cold, cold night against the Patriots, where they fell 17-14. Former Titans cornerback Samari Roll is on the line with us. Samari, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
Always good to talk to you. You know, whenever we would have Lo Neal on, Derek would always call him a bootleg preacher. You just told Chase, you called him Jughead. Where did Jughead come from? Is that what you've always called D-Mace?
All 12 years I played professionally, D-Mace was my teammate every single year.
That's crazy.
So that name, it just stuck. You know, he's a year ahead of me and everything, but he used to get on me about my body structure and how skinny I was, so I just started calling him Jughead, and it stuck. Juggy for short. Sometimes I just say Juggy.
Well, we may steal that and start calling him that. Start calling him that too. What do you remember about that cold Saturday night in Foxborough back in January of 04?
Well, what's funny, the other day I looked up how cold it was that night. I was trying to tell my kids that they were saying how cold the games were this past weekend. I'm like, I know when we played New England in 04 that year, it had to be like under 10 degrees. And I looked, and I think it was like 5 with a negative wind chill of maybe 4. Something like that.
I looked at Pro Football Reference, Samari, and it was 4 degrees, according to the website, 4 degrees at kickoff and a minus 10 in the wind chill factor.
Yep, I remember that. And I remember it seems like we had control of that game, you know. It was back and forth, and I think they got the late field goal or late touchdown or whatever, and I remember them blitzing. Been in an all-out blitz, and you know, we've seen Drew make that catch all the time. He makes that catch all the time. Maybe the weather, nighttime, or whatever. Unfortunately, we didn't make the play. I think if we beat that, we win that game right there, I think we would have been on our way.
You know what's crazy, Samari? If you remember, and I know you do, Drew had an amazing catch down the sidelines prior to that drop. It was like
yes,
a catch.
He did. Yep.
You're like, no way he came down with that, and he did.
Yeah, he did. One thing about Drew always had great ball skills and could always go up and make acrobatic catches. It just wasn't our night then, I believe. And that was the last time we made the playoffs together. The next year was our last year, so you remember that game.
No doubt about it. So, really, a lot has it. But we're talking about 14 years ago, and really, when you think about the Patriots, nothing's really changed. I mean, they've got their quarterback in Tom Brady. We've got the same coach, same owner. Everything's in the core is intact, and that's kind of how the Patriots operate, as you know. They identify their core players, and everything else is just interchangeable parts.
It is. It's something you definitely have to marvel at. In this day and age, like, nobody from our team, from the Titans team, is even playing back then. I don't even think anyone is coaching still on that roster. Maybe Waterson might be the only person that's still there. But,
yep.
it just goes to show you how fortunate Belichick and Brady have been to have one another, I think. You know, one doesn't do it without the other.
So take us through the mentality, because like I said, it's crazy how 14 years later, it's really almost like the same type of path. You know, you were the underdog, you went into Baltimore and you won. And yeah, you had had a better regular season than this Titans team because you finished 12-4, but still nobody was giving you a chance in New England. Nobody's given this team a chance. Take us through that week leading up, preparation leading up to the game against the Patriots. What was the mindset?
Well, it was almost one of those things where we were, you know, kind of playing with house money, because even though we did finish 12-4, we lost to the Colts twice that year. They ultimately won a division, and we lost to the Patriots earlier that season, so up in Foxborough in a close game. But we knew that we could beat them. You know, it was just about making the plays at the right time. Jeff would always harp on that. You know, you against the Patriots, you got to finish. You got to finish the game. You can't let them off the hook. And whatever happened, you know, it was a long time ago, but I think it was 17-14, and, you know, we were right where we wanted to be. Just keep it close in the fourth quarter. Somebody will find a way to make a play. And, you know, it was just that night, the conditions and everything, and with it being that cold, I think maybe that had something to do with Drew dropping the ball. But it was nothing that we had to hang our heads down about, because, you know, we played hard and we could have won the game. Unfortunately, we did. But I do see a lot of similarities in the Titans team that's going up there Saturday night.
Samari Roll is the former Titans cornerback, former Baltimore Ravens quarterback, joining us here on 3D. And Samari, you had many a battle with Belichick and Brady over the years. And I'm curious, from a cornerback standpoint, when you go up and you prepare for a Patriots offense, what's the mentality? What makes them so tough to defend every year?
Well, the main thing is with Brady, you're not going to confuse him. So, you know, you could try and disguise all type of coverages and try and play mind games with them, but one thing is you're not going to confuse them. So the biggest thing when you play New England is when they run those little dink and dunk routes, you got to tackle them immediately. You got to be physical with them. So it comes a point in time where, you know, the receiver's not going to keep wanting to run across his middle full speed and keep getting hit. But I will say now the difference with Brady is he's got Gronkowski now. And that is, I mean, that's something you got to actually play two people on Gronkowski. And I think with him knowing that, you know, it lets him know who's open, where to go with the ball.
Samari, when you characterize over the years, I know there's been a lot of names that have changed, but this is what is interesting about the Patriots attack, that a lot of the names have come and gone of, I guess, good wide receivers, but rarely a great one. They did have Randy Moss, of course, for that period of time. But the average general wide receiver, like the Amendolas or the Deion Branches, guys like that, how would you rate those guys overall, and how much did they just benefit from being in the system?
I think besides Moss, all of them benefit from that system. Because, I mean, when you watch the Patriots, they like most teams in the NFL, their big plays come from outside the numbers, outside the hash marks, where the Patriots really attack you in the middle of the field. Like, they flood the middle of the field, and it puts you in a bind defensively because you don't know what to attack. And then sometimes they might just come with a whole different game plan. Some, like, when they play the Colts, most of the time, they just pound the Colts, because they know physically they can run the ball on them. So it's all about, you know, how you match up with them. I think the Broncos' biggest advantage playing the Patriots is that the Broncos can rush four and drop seven back into coverage. And if you're able to do that, now you got Brady holding on to the ball, which gives the rush a better chance to get there.
Yeah, that will be something that I'm curious to see if the Titans can do, if they can get there with four, because generally they're with Dick LeBeau, they like to bring that extra guy. You don't know where he's coming from. So I do wonder if they can get heat on Brady. What do you think? I don't know how much you know about Dick LeBeau's system, but do you think that's decent matchup?
I think it is, but the one thing I've always noticed about Dick LeBeau's system, like when he played in Pittsburgh, he doesn't always have those lockdown corners. You know, Ike Taylor was a good player, but I think in order to beat New England, you've got to get up and challenge those receivers. You know, they're not going to run away from you. New England doesn't throw the ball downfield a lot, but they catch people using Gronkowski, and they use their back wonderfully in the passing game. They really use their back well.
Samari, looking back on your we still look back with sadness, and we always joke with Derek because he's still sore about it, and we all were when you got to the point for the Titans where they had to break up what was a great team for five straight years, and it really hurt when to watch you and Derek and Steve McNair do tough things against the Titans when you became Baltimore Ravens. That was really tough, for sure, but when you look back on those 5 years with the Titans, when the stadium opened, you became the Titans, you guys had a chance to win every year. And that's rare for a five-year period in the salary cap era.
Yes. A lot of people criticize Jeff for, you know, his record and being able to hold on to those jobs that long. But one thing I'll say about Jeff is that he always had good coaches around them, and we always felt like we were supposed to win. You know what I mean? Like in the pros, some teams don't feel like that. You know, some teams walk out there like, oh, man, we know we're about to get it. But we always felt like we could win with Jeff. And for instance, the 99 team, the team that went to the Super Bowl, that was probably out of the 5 year span you're talking about, out of the four playoff teams, that team was probably the least talented. I mean, just be honest about it, that might have been Jeff's probably second best job he did. I think the year we started 1-4 and we made it to the conference championship game, I think that was the best job he'd done. And it was just like, I didn't want to leave Tennessee. I really enjoyed playing there. Great teammates, great coaches. But when I saw Eddie get released the previous year, then I knew it was only a matter of time for, both of the veterans to be on every team.
It was big news on this show because, as you know, Samari, Jughead, a.k.a. Derek Mason, when he puts somebody on the list, you don't usually get off the list. If you're on his you-know-what list, you're not getting off. Within the last year, he took Floyd Reese off of his list. They have mended the fences. So where's Floyd Reese? What's the status of Floyd Reese with Samari Roll?
I've never had a problem with Floyd. That's always been my guy there. He took a chance on drafting me. He always had my back. So, Floyd was never on my list. I appreciate it. Always. Greatly.
See, I think D-Mace was also mad that he got drafted in the fourth round. He felt like, you know him. He felt like he should have been first round.
Now that I get. I totally get. I do get that. And the one thing I used to say to Florida was just that, how could I be the 13th DB pick? that's the only thing I used to joke with him about.
All right, last thing, Samari Roll. The Titans have faced arguably the two best tight ends in the league. They're going to do it back-to-back weeks. They had Travis Kelce last week, and they benefited greatly when he went down late in the first half not to return.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
Now they're facing the best tight end in the league in Rob Gronkowski. I don't believe you can stop him. I guess the mentality is you just try to figure out how to slow him down or not let him destroy you. What would be your approach in handling a guy, a body like a Rob Gronkowski?
I think with Dick LeBeau, having so much experience, the player that I like on the Titans team, I like Bayard a lot. Safety, he's got great ball skills, and he's always where he's supposed to be. So, if I'm Dick LeBeau this week, I bracket Gronkowski every chance I get, and you got to force him to beat you on the outside. You got to. Yeah, Brandon Cook can run, and, Chris Hogan's not a bad player, but I'd rather make the Patriots try to beat me on big plays as opposed to just seeing Brady march down the field constantly with 8 to 10 play drives just shredding you. So I think you got to come after them. You come after them, and you got to bracket Gronkowski and let the chips fall where they may.
So, Mario, real quick while we've got you, I think a lot of Titans fans would be curious your take on your what you see in Marcus Mariota. He's such a critical player to the franchise, and he played such a great second half there, and you see what he can do when he's on. What are your thoughts on his development to this point?
I like him. I like Mariota a lot. I think the fact that he hasn't had the chance to finish his first two seasons, you know, because he had little nicks and bruises or whatever, I think that kind of held him back a little bit as far as experience. But the way he played against Jacksonville, you know, with the game win and you're in, and then him coming back from down 18 last week, it kind of reminded me of Steve at first. You know, Steve, everything was just throw the ball to Wycheck and run. Throw the ball to Wycheck and run. And it's like last week you kind of saw Mariota just growing up and, you know, realizing that he's the quarterback. The team is going to go outside of how he plays. And I think the second half, he showed what he is. He looked like the kid at Oregon that everybody thought they'd be getting. Now, this week, I will say he's gonna have to play the best game that he's played so far because 12 is going to show up. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So I think if the Titans can put up 24, I think they can win.
Hmm. Okay. Is Jimbo Fisher on your list, Samari, as we wrap this up?
Yes,
he is. Okay,
yes,
so he's
Jimbo
on your list.
It's hard to turn down $75 million. I totally get that. I mean, I like Jimbo a lot. He did a great job with our school. But I don't think it's cool when you got recruits saying that we haven't heard from Florida State since September or, you know, since early October, which kind of, you know, gives you the impression, you know, did he know he was leaving? Was his heart into this?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason he's on my list. Besides that, I love Jimbo. He did a great job with Jameis. He got us the national championship. He got us in the playoffs. So, but he's still on the list. But I like
him. Well, you guys were awesome to cover when you were here. The bootleg preacher, Jughead, and Samari Roll. We all remember, you know, you guys, it was a perfect way to start off a professional football franchise in this market because you were great guys to be around and cover and obviously really, really good players and very successful. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
No problem. Thank you for having me, and good luck, Titans, this week. Yep, will be needed.
No doubt. Samari Roll, former Titans cornerback joining us. He was their second-round pick. But can you believe that? He was a second-round pick.
And he played those great – I mean, that was the heyday of Florida State every year, winning 10, 11, yep, 12 games and being top five and competing for national championships.
Bobby Bowden.
Yep.
You're right, they were winning.
What a great player he was.
11 games a year, no doubt.
So steady.
All right, we'll come back with more, talk a little bit. Now, that was the Titans side. We got the Patriots perspective. We'll talk about what we've discussed thus far. We'll also have Tim Hasselbeck kick off the third hour of 3D. That's all coming up next on 102.5 The Game.